This is Coastside Conversations. My guest today is Kata Gomes. And Kata and I had a nice long conversation probably 6 months ago. And we said we were going to be talking to each other more often. And here we are finally in April of 2023 with our update. And so I'm sure there's so much to talk about, Kata. So why don't you give me an update? What's going on?
All right. Well, with Muchiate Indigenous Land Trust, we've really been focusing this year on our cultural revitalization programs. Last spring, I enrolled in Berkeley's Indigenous Language Program and Breath of Life. And when I was there on campus, I connected with several linguists who Muchiate has since hired two linguists to work with us in revitalizing our Ramaytush language.
Fantastic.
And so we are currently hosting weekly Ramaytush language classes in Moss Beach.
Wow. And who is are there people coming in person to learn?
Yes, we have a hybrid system of in-person students coming. And also, I have some relatives in Northern California who have the desire to learn, but are outside the area. So we're also Zooming as well.
Oh, fantastic.
So both. I'd say we have about 10 students involved right now learning the Ramaytush language.
That's really great.
Yes.
And what is the vocabulary up to at this point? How many words?
I would say we have about a base of about 200 vocabulary words. And we've been adding to that vocabulary list. And what we've done is we've hired the linguist that was particularly working with me on the Ramaytush language while I was on campus, but we also hired a Chichenyo language linguist who was working with the Chichenyo language of the East Bay.
Okay.
Because in our comparison of neighboring languages, since we are so limited in what we have to work from, we're looking outside of the peninsula for the indigenous languages, and the Chichenyo language of the East Bay is actually the most closely aligned language to ours.
Okay.
And they have a much larger database of recordings of actual native speakers that were done in the 1920s by Harrington. Of the Chichenyo language.
Oh,
we don't have that here for the Ramaytush language. They also have a much broader vocabulary. They even have a dictionary. And so there's been a lot more documentation of their language. And there are some words in the Chichenyo language that if you change one letter, it would transfer over into Ramaytush language.
Okay.
A comparison would be Lakota, Nakota, Dakota is the same word, but would just change one letter and it switches into another language.
I see.
So there's some of that that's going to be happening, which is why we pulled in a linguist that's more familiar with the Chichenyo language as well.
Well, that's great because it gives your people way more to work with, right?
Yeah, and then we're going to have to get together with the relatives and actually make some decisions because of there might be contradictory documentation that we'll have to decide which direction we'll want to go in.
Okay. So. And so altogether, how many identified Ramaytush tribal members are there in the, say, California area?
It's actually very, very limited. For 100 years, the academics at Berkeley have been claiming that the indigenous people of the San Francisco Peninsula are extinct.
Yes.
And so more recently, within this decade, people have been documenting their lineage and proving that for 100 years, the academics have been wrong.
Yes.
So in our family, Muchiate being the matriarch of our family, who is documented at Mission Dolores in 1782, her family line to date, which this could change, but as of now, her descendants are the only known living descendants of the Ramaytush tribe.
Okay. And so you have to be related to her, or you don't know for sure if you're in the Ramaytush tribe. Is that it?
Right. Or there could be other living descendants who haven't documented their lineage.
Right.
and just don't know that they are Ramaytush. So right. The possibility that there are more, but at this point, there are no other known living descendants of the Ramaytush tribe.
Wow. Okay. So you were almost extinct, but you're not.
Right.
And so there's what, a few dozen of you, or do you know?
I don't know the exact number.
Okay. Okay.
But we've been fortunate to be reaching out to other family members who have an interest in being involved. And so at this point, we do have a majority Ramaytush on our board of directors.
Fantastic.
And in addition to that, connected to the language, I have a cousin who is very musically talented. And so I really wanted to pull him in on the language because of his musical knowledge and his sensitivities. I felt that he would be the perfect conduit for bringing back our songs. And the exciting news is it has started to happen.
Oh, great.
He and his partner were doing a meditation exercise, and he was in a semi-conscious dream type state, and he started to hear a song coming to him. And then when he started the language class, which was just a couple months ago, and looking over our vocabulary words, he recognized one of the words
from the song he heard?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Connected it to, that's what I was hearing in the song.
Oh, man. That's great.
And so it's really exciting to have that genetic connection.
Yeah.
And to be, by learning the language, we're really opening up or pulling the curtain away from a whole nother perspective.
That's a spiritual connection, too.
Yes.
I mean, he's going inside and, hearing the sound. You know, it's interesting. There's so many belief systems that start with sound, right? The sound within,
right.
The voice within. So that's fantastic. So that's happening. And are you guys having events to celebrate? Or is he able to actually have people around to train on these songs?
Not yet. He's just processing it on his own because it's coming through him.
Okay.
And so we haven't gotten that far, but we are working on some other language programs or projects, I should say, that currently in El Granada, I was asked to suggest a indigenous name for a park that's being developed there. And so with a group of concerned citizens from El Granada who have been diligently working on support and getting a letter of support distributed in the community and getting signatures, we now have over 150 signatures to present to the Granada Community Social District.
Oh, fantastic.
And so we're advocating for actually renaming that area Chiguan. So my suggestion is Chiguan Park. And it's a regional name that is historic to that part of the coast. The Pillar Point and the Half Moon Bay, that whole area is considered Chiguan. So not only is it historic, but the part I love about it is that it's also inclusive. So the known village sites in that area would all be considered to be in Chiguan.
And does Chiguan have a meaning?
Not that we know at this point.
Okay. So it's just a Ramaytush name.
It's a historic Ramaytush name for that area.
Okay. Well, that's great.
So it's historic, it's inclusive, and we feel that it would be very important as a building block for education.
Absolutely.
Because they're planning a community recreation center there.
Okay.
And so we feel that it would be a really good tool to educate not only current but future generations on the cultural importance of what was here before colonization.
The heritage of the land, right?
And it's very exciting, too. It seems like I'm learning something new every week. And just recently I learned that the Half Moon Bay Historical Society, who we've also been collaborating with, has in their possession a stone game ball that was actually found within a few blocks of the proposed park.
Oh.
So this is really very, very relevant to the the starting up of this park. And in the future, I would love if the Half Moon Bay Historical Society would actually have an exhibit of artifacts found in that area.
For the Ramatush.
Yes.
That would be so appropriate.
And
for
the possibility of having future classes being held there too at the Recreation Center. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of possibilities for future education.
Now, whereabouts is this? I'm trying to pinpoint in my mind. Is it near the fire station or where is it?
The new fire station is directly across the street from it on Obispo. Currently, there's a skate ramp at that location.
Okay.
That's more towards the southern end. It borders, it's a strip of land right along the eastern side of Highway 1.
Yeah, I know where that is. And I thought that might be where it is because that's.
And then, so there's a small creek and a riparian corridor to the south on Coronado Street.
Mm-hmm.
And then to the northern end along Avenue Alhambra. There's currently like a child care center there.
Okay.
So that's like the northern boundary of the proposed park.
Mm-hmm.
And the...
That's a great place.
They're planning another structure between where the... I think it's called Picasso Daycare Center.
Okay.
Between that existing structure and Highway 1, they're planning another construction.
Okay.
And there'll be a courtyard between the two buildings.
Okay. So, in other words, this would be a place where people could gather and there could be artifacts shown or exhibited and you could have classes there.
Yes. It's a multifaceted facility for different happenings.
Sounds like a wonderful development for you guys in the sense that, hey, now you're getting some visible recognition, you know, people can begin to appreciate the heritage of the land.
Right. And because of the distribution of the letter of support and the signatures from people signing up, it's great exposure for Mucciate.
Sure.
And a lot of people are expressing a desire to get more involved with us and to find out how they can support us as well.
Very good.
It's been really beneficial for us, that project.
Since people are asking about it, maybe I can ask you too, how can people get more involved with you and participate in whatever activities you guys have at the, you know, place in San Gregorio or up in El Granada or whatever?
Well, we do have a website, and it's mucciateilt.org. And the update is that we aren't currently at the farm in San Gregorio.
Oh, okay.
But since our last interview with you mm-hmm. and exposure here in Pescadero, we were approached by a neighboring educational farm here in Pescadero.
Mm-hmm.
Who we have since been collaborating with Kathy Webster.
Oh, yeah. Kathy Webster very well.
At Tomcat Ranch.
Oh, good.
So we have many plans in the works with them there at Tomcat Ranch.
Oh,
and
good.
They've been graciously offering us space to host another one of our cultural revitalization programs is a bi-monthly basket circle.
Oh,
so we've had four so far, and our last one was held at Tomcat Ranch.
Oh, great.
And they offered us this wonderful space that was so beautiful and such a wonderful space for the people who participated to be creative in that space. And we were really excited that last basket circle gathering, we had several students that were members of Cabrillo College's Indigenous Club. And a couple of their advisors participated, and they were very anxious to continue in being involved with Mucciate as well.
That's so great. So now the basket club, I take it that there are specific patterns, specific methods, specific materials that are used for the baskets of your...
There are traditional materials and patterns, but we haven't delved that far into it yet because we're just starting it. What we have been focused on is our available materials.
Okay.
And so we haven't had the opportunity to harvest the willow and the sedges that would normally traditionally be used in our baskets.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've started with is pine needle baskets. Because we had availability to the materials.
Okay.
So we're starting from there.
Is this something other people can get involved with if they apply in some way, or how does someone participate?
Yeah, if they do contact us through the website, we could possibly add more people to the group.
Okay.
We already have a lot of interest in it, okay. And so we are limited, but we can take in more people.
Okay.
And another project that we have, we're planning to start gathering the materials for it next fall into winter, is that we have plans, and this is going to take a couple of years, I expect, to build a tule canoe.
Oh.
So we'll be harvesting cattails and tule, and so we're looking for sources for that.
Mm-hmm.
That would be used for the cordage that bounds the bundles of tule together, mm-hmm. and then a lot of tule as well.
Yeah. Now, is this something, is there someone in your among your associates that knows how to put this canoe together?
Yes, we do have friends who have built canoes.
Okay.
And a person who I consider to be a mentor of mine is Elle Frank, who is up in Santa Rosa. Her tribe is actually from Southern California, but she resides in Santa Rosa and has ongoing canoe building projects going on.
That would be
at
so,
her home.
That would be so appropriate here.
Yes. And then I'm not sure if he knows it yet, but another gentleman from the Sonoma area, Redbird, Elle Frank said that Redbird is experienced at this, and so she has volunteered him to assist us if we need his help.
Oh, that's so great. Well, there's a huge supply of tules around here.
Right. It's just learning who we need to contact to access it.
Right.
You know, is it post? Is it the parks? Is it state parks?
Right.
You know, is it a private owner?
Well, so, it could be, you know, definitely at Año Nuevo, there's some near the freshwater pond over mm-hmm. there. But here at the marsh, there's just a huge supply.
Mm-hmm.
And that's state parks.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Año is also state parks, Año Nuevo State
mm-hmm.
Park.
Right.
So I can think of two, you know, sources
yes.
right there.
Yes.
Now, there is a person in charge of this region. Chris, and I do know his name. I could get you his name
oh,
if you want to
yes.
talk to him about
uh-huh.
it. And there's quite a few people who would be very interested.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yes. Every time I mention it to these young people that have been gathering with us, they're very excited about that project.
Yeah.
And, you know, they want to come harvest, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
And saying, well, get some rubber boots. And they're like, we've got them, you know. And also, there's a person named Zion out at the mushroom farm who has said they have a couple of ponds as well with mm-hmm. tule and cattail.
Okay.
And so he's willing to give us access
yeah,
to that,
too. There's so many kinds here.
Right.
You know,
yeah. There's a lot of sources. It's
yeah.
just making the right connections.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I am thinking of, I think his name is Chris Sporer, and he's at the district office in Felton, but he's in charge mm-hmm. of this whole Año Nuevo area and the state park that includes the marsh. So
mm-hmm.
he would be the first person to talk to, and then he could say who in particular could help you as far as tules are concerned.
Right.
There's so
yeah.
many people who are interested in native practices.
Uh-huh.
There are people who've been at Año Nuevo, you know, doing interesting studies on the artifacts that are
mm-hmm.
being exposed by the weather there.
Right.
You know, so I
yes.
think that would be a great source.
Yes. Also, Half Moon Bay's Historical Society has talked to me about if we would be interested in doing a tule shelter
mm.
for them.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I already have the tule canoe project
mm-hmm.
in the front burner of this.
Mm-hmm.
And so for right now, that's a little bit of a distraction for the materials we're going to need for that project.
Okay.
But that might be something we'll be looking into in the future.
In the future. Now, was that a normal material for housing?
Yes.
Okay.
Willow, like a willow structure, a skeleton
mm-hmm.
that the tules would be applied to on top of the bent willow to build their huts.
Okay.
So it would be a combination. And then the cordage could be cattail that binds it together.
Mm-hmm.
Could be cattail or dogbane or nettles.
Mm-hmm.
and truly all those fibers could be used for cordage.
And all those fibers grow in abundance around here.
And that's why they were used.
Of course. Yeah. Yes, it makes sense. Yeah, they figured out how to make best use of what was here. Yeah. Well, that's really interesting. It sounds so fun. And I can't wait to see one. And I don't think I could actually help put one together, but I can definitely help you get in touch with the people who are at state parks.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
I'll definitely do that. Yeah, that's exciting. And I can just see where this is going. So have you had any, I know that you had a situation where you were producing food for a lot of people. Is that still ongoing?
Well, it's not the harvest season right now. Right now, the fields are in cover crops, and because of the wet weather, that production hasn't started yet.
Okay.
And we aren't currently at the farm. So that was a project we were involved with last year, but not this year.
Okay.
So right now, we're focusing on our cultural revitalization programs instead of the farming.
And where are you guys residing? Are people scattered around? Or?
Yeah, we're sort of migratory right now.
Okay.
So Tomcat Ranch has been hosting us for our basket circles there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Anna in Half Moon and Moss Beach has been hosting our languages there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've just been flexible and moving around, and people have been very gracious in offering us the space.
That's great.
To host our classes.
Super.
Another project that is in the works, a future project with Tomcat Ranch, is where we have been discussing putting in a native plant garden there.
Oh, good.
An indigenous native plant garden.
Wow, that would be great.
Yeah, so that's a future topic we can cover.
Well, that's an ongoing thing. I mean, mm-hmm. once you get that started, then it's just ongoing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that would be a wonderful project that so many people would want to help with,
mm-hmm.
you know, of all varieties of people. I mean, I'm not talking about necessarily people from your tribe, although mm-hmm. I'm sure there are those people, but I mean, many, many people interested in native plants around here.
Yes.
For all kinds of reasons.
For all our activities, we're not just limiting it to our own tribal members.
Good.
We are including the community at large in the language classes, in the basket classes, everything.
Great. Oh, great.
We try to be as inclusive as possible.
That's wonderful. Yeah. That's great. Okay, so let's say that website name one more time. It's could you say it?
Muchiate. ILT.
So all one word, Muchiate.
Yeah, all small case, mm-hmm. Muchiate, ILT.
Okay.
.org.
All right, I'm going to spell it. So it's MUCHIATEILT.org. So Muchiate. ILT.org. Is there a reason for the ILT? What does that mean?
Indigenous Land Trust.
Ah, Indigenous Land Trust.
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense.
And we're getting very close to getting our nonprofit status. That's another thing we've been focused on last year.
Right.
And as of the beginning of January, we have our federal 1023 turned into the federal government, which is one of the final stages of the process. And so now we're just waiting for certification.
Yeah, it takes time. It takes like a year to get the number. Sometimes the ID number for taking tax deductible deductions, but also just to be recognized as a nonprofit, a 501c3 organization. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a process, but that's wonderful. And there's no question you will get it. It's just a matter of getting the paperwork through the bureaucracy.
And we've been through several beginning stages of the process, and we do already have our federal tax ID number.
Oh, good.
And our state tax ID number.
Oh, good. Okay.
So we can accept donations.
Okay.
But we wouldn't be able to be tax deductible until we get that certification. But then the tax deductibility can be retroactive back to the date we filed in January.
Right. Okay.
So we can accept donations at this time, and at a later date, it could be tax deductible.
Is it possible to make donations on the website, Or would somebody send them to you at an address on the website?
On the website, there is an area where you can contact us.
Okay.
And then you can be in touch with Beth Craig, who's our treasurer.
Okay.
And that would be on our our email address would go through.
You can reach her through that. Really important to have that. You know, if you have community support, you need monetary support, not just people support.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
So that's great. Yeah. Okay. Well, is there anything we can do for you? I mean, as far as getting the word out, I mean, I'm happy to keep, I'd love to see you more often.
Yeah. Well, it's great to be here, and thank you for hosting us. And one other issue I would like to put out there to the community is that my village site of Tmigtoq, this is what the news I learned this past week, is that there is a developer who has hopes of putting a luxury hotel in Pacifica near our village site in an area that's currently referred to as the quarry.
Oh, okay.
And so this has just come into our radar this week. Something new, but it's something we feel strongly about.
There's a lot of people who would help you with that.
Right.
I mean, nobody wants development when it's supposed to be a heritage place.
Right.
So I think, you know, if we let Post know, if we let MROSD know, if we just let the public know.
Right.
I mean, is there like a petition? Is there something like we can go to the Pacifica Council meetings? What would it take, do you think, to stop that?
Right now I'm working with a gentleman in Pacifica. His name is Mark Hubble.
Okay.
He's been very active on environmental issues there.
Okay.
And so currently I'm waiting for him to send me some documentation on the plans. Mm-hmm. So we're just formulating our tactics right now.
Well, if the person has bought the land, you want to start right away, right?
I don't think the land has been purchased.
Okay,
I don't think it's in private ownership.
Oh, perfect. That's now is good.
Yes.
I want to get that off.
Mark is confident that we'll be able to stop this because this isn't the first developer who has put their eyes on this piece of property that's right on the coast.
I bet you there are a lot of people in Pacifica who would want to support making that set aside for the Ramaytush.
Yeah, that would be wonderful if we could have it as a cultural site.
And we should talk to the mayor. We should talk to the council. We should talk to everybody about
There's
that.
There's a historical society in Pacifica as well.
Okay. Yeah. Because, I think most people want to preserve our the heritage, our history.
Right.
Right. And many more people are understanding our history goes way back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mark informed me also that there have been artifacts found on that site.
Oh, wow.
So it is a culturally sensitive site.
Absolutely.
And this isn't the first developer who has tried to develop it and was stopped by the community.
Oh, good.
So the community there is very supportive.
Yeah,
of not having this type of development happening there.
I'm trying to think. In Pacifica, the quarry, is this the quarry near Rockaway Beach?
Yeah, it's just to the north of it.
Yeah, Valimar or something like that, right near the corner.
Rockaway Beach has a very large cove, and then there's another smaller cove just to the north of Rockaway Beach.
Right, I know where you mean.
And then actually, Mark was doing research there at that rocky point and realized that it wasn't given a known name. And he worked with USGS to give it the name of RMI Point.
Oh.
So just as Chiguan is the area referred to around Half Moon Bay, RMI is the area of that what is now known as Pacifica.
So it's a Ramaytush name for that area.
Yeah, so that rocky point that we're referring to has the name of RMI Point.
Yeah, I know where you mean because there's a signal right there.
There's a signal, a little parking lot. There's a water treatment place.
And
there's a little path there with memorial gardens.
Yeah, plus on the right-hand side is Valimar. And there's, that's where their town, the Valimar little village
Right.
is
in
over that way.
Cove.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
So
well,
that's something to keep our eyes peeled for.
Absolutely.
In the future, and to gain a lot as much support as we can to stop that type of thing coming to the coastline.
Because we don't want
a luxury hotel.
You know what? I don't think it would be hard to get that support. People just need to be aware.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And then now on your website, you know, people could contact you about mm-hmm. this and just say, hey, I'd like to support this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if there was a petition to bring to the Pacifica mm-hmm. Town Council, that would
right.
help, right?
Yes.
Sounds like what you need is for that area to be designated as Ramaytush land.
A cultural site.
Yeah, yes. Cultural, mm-hmm. a cultural heritage, or, you mm-hmm. know, it's been in your history for many years.
Right. So the artifacts were there that have been found there are from my family. That's their home site.
Yeah. Do you guys have a museum at this point?
We don't. Pacifica does and Half Moon Bay does.
Okay.
And, you know, we were hoping to set up an Indigenous Cultural Center in San Gregorio, but that didn't seem to work out with the partnership of what we had happening there.
Okay.
So we're still open to it. You know, that's why we have our Muchiate Indigenous Land Trust.
You know, there is a Pescadero History Society as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And it's, you know, San Gregorio is right next door.
Right. Yeah.
And so Greg Tim would be interested, I'm sure, in hearing more about this.
Yeah.
We have a tiny little traveling museum.
Oh, uh-huh.
So finding out about this, I think he'd be very interested in talking to you. Finding out a little bit more about it.
Yes.
And he's very involved with the San Mateo County History Association.
Uh-huh.
And so, I mean, the county needs to know that this is going on.
And a lot of farmers, which is how this stone game ball was found, somebody was gardening in their yard and dug it up. And so these farmers have been plowing their fields and finding artifacts, which we would be happy
to
receive back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some community members here have started returning artifacts to me.
Yeah.
So I do have a few, and we're so grateful, and it means so much to us to have this tangible connection to our ancestors.
I'm definitely going to make sure Greg Tim knows
that
this is going on.
Yeah, please pass on my information to him.
I will.
And my email address as well.
Because he wants to know all the history, right? I mean, he's been very interested in the European history, but he wants to know all of it.
Right.
And so do we all.
Right.
You know, we're all beginning to understand that there, you know, our history goes way back more, way farther than our history books tell us.
Right. A lot, thousands of years prior. And it's just coming to a public knowledge of the quality of knowledge that hasn't been accessible in the past.
It hasn't been revealed in any of our textbooks history books.
Yes. The last 300 years of European contact is very limited in comparison to the thousands of years of traditional ecological knowledge that hasn't been tapped into. And it's just exactly what our planet is needing at this point.
I totally agree
with you. Yeah. The timing is very relevant right now.
Now, in terms of Tomcat Ranch, have you got a relationship with them in terms of understanding, or is there someone there who's interested in hearing about how the land was used by the Ramaytush? Is somebody talking to you about that?
Not so far, but they have been very gracious and welcoming, and we are just developing our relationship there with Tomcat Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And we recently received a plant list.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're documenting the native plants in their fields, in their pastures.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've gotten a plant list of the native plants in their pasture lands.
Mm-hmm.
And they are offering us access to harvesting them.
Oh, fantastic.
So we're just, it's a new budding relationship that we're building with Tomcat Ranch.
I know that they would be very interested when they were starting to look at prescribed or controlled burns.
Mm-hmm.
They really did a lot of research on that, but they don't understand the native knowledge. They don't understand Ramaytush historical knowledge on that subject. And I think that there, those scientists who worked on it, and I interviewed a couple of them, would probably really like to know, how did the Ramitish use the product of that, the burning, right?
Yes. Recently, we did do a land use with that. We were a consultant to post on the Cloverdale Bluffs.
Okay.
And at that time, we were talking with Post about the need there, because those fields have so many invasive non-native plants that it would be the perfect location to do a cultural burn, which is much different than what the state fire department is doing, is controlled burn.
Right.
Controlled burn is a much broader scope to it, whereas a cultural burn is done in ceremony and specific plants are burnt for a specific reason. So it's more micromanaged.
Okay.
The cultural burn.
And it has a purpose, right?
Yes.
It's got a much different purpose.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the Ramitish currently, we don't have a burn crew. We're just, you know, we don't have the people power right now. But I do know Karina Luna Geary, who's the tribal chair of Tamian in the South County, South Bay, that they do have a fire crew.
Okay.
And so I've spoken with them about having them come.
Fantastic.
If needed on these future projects.
I think people want to know what are the real reasons people did the cultural burning? What did they get from it? What I've read is different years. I mean, once you'd burned the land,
it rotated.
It had different products that you could use. Different materials came out of it, different reasons for each year. So I think people would love to know what that's about.
Yeah, and it's done in a ceremonial way. And our culture was much less patriarchal than our current society. And so the women actually had a role ceremonial in starting the fires.
Oh,
the
really?
Women were the ones who went and decided which plants were. We have a deep connection with the earth. And so, and an intuitive connection. And so it's actually the women who start the fires, and then it's up to the men to tend to it and control it and extinguish it.
So it was each role, each side had their role.
Yes. Yes. So it was very ceremonial and strict protocols involved in that process.
That's
it's
wonderful.
Not just, let's just burn this whole valley.
Right. So much reverence for the land. That's what I get from when I hear you talk, and I understand the healing of the earth. This was part of it.
Right.
Right.
It's the reverence for the land and all the living creatures and what's going to be best for all. You know, not just neglect what you don't agree with.
Right. And the continuation. I mean, this very farsighted approach of we're doing this to heal the earth and sustain it for thousands of years, right?
And it's, when we heal the earth, it heals us as well. So it's very reciprocal.
Yeah. I am talking to Kata Lena Gomes, who is the tribal chair for the Ramitish.
I don't claim to be the tribal chair.
Okay, sorry.
There is another Ramitish organization where they have a person who does claim the tribal chair.
Okay.
But it's sort of a self-proclaimed title.
Okay.
Which seems a little bit awkward. But I am the founder and executive director of Muchiate Indigenous Land Trust.
Okay. Yeah. And is the land trust... does it have boundaries? Is it an actual place at this point?
The trust itself does not have boundaries, but Ramitish Ancestral Homelands is the entire San Francisco Peninsula.
Okay.
I also have a documented lineage to two other tribes in Central California. So we wouldn't be limited to just the peninsula. I'm also Salilian, south of of the Monterey Bay area, Salinas, Salilian.
Okay.
And so that Santa Lucia range down past almost to San Luis Obispo, is also our ancestral homeland.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So we're very coastal. And then we also have lineage to, and we're still working on this line of our family, is Bay Miwok as well.
And where is that?
Bay Miwok would be like Vallejo, east of the Oakland Hills, that region right there into the Carquinez Straits.
Okay. Like Martinez and...
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
So we have ancestral homelands beyond the peninsula, but right now we're focusing here in Ramaytush territory.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So it's such a privilege to talk to you. I love it. I just enjoy it so much. I hope we can do this again. I feel so good when I talk to you.
Thank you, Catherine. You know, a joy to be here as well.
Oh, thank you. So I'm hoping that we can keep an update going.
Yes, we always have new projects coming our way.
I know. Well, a lot happened over the winter, and I know with all those storms and everything, people were preoccupied with the weather. But now that spring is here, it's time to actually look at these possibilities, right?
Yes.
I mean, I love the Thule project for the canoe. Mm-hmm. I would love to actually get to the point of being in one of those.
Yeah, we're actually planning a very large canoe that would be ocean going.
Oh, wow.
So it's not your typical inland lake type of canoe.
Oh, well, this is what I heard. I mean, I've read that that was how it was used. Mm-hmm. They went out fishing in these really big Thule canoes.
Yes, yes.
And then just the idea that you have songs coming up that, that come from your heritage, that you're, really introducing new words to your language, that you're really developing that, the whole language arts of your community. I just think it's fantastic. It's really gone a long way.
Yes. Yes.
And I have to say, I think being in partnership with Tomcat Ranch can only be good.
Yes, I feel the same way.
Yeah.
They've been very generous and gracious to us. So we're very appreciative.
And they're very, serious about what they do.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're actually going to be putting a translator, a new part of our radio station up there so that we have a broader coverage, so that we'll have a much bigger, range. Yeah. We don't know how big exactly, but it's going to be at least twice as big as what it is right now.
And what is your range right now?
All right, it's very small. I mean, except for we're on kpdo.net, which is streaming. So streaming, you can get anywhere, right?
Right.
But as far as how the airwaves go, it's like a few miles that way, a few miles that way, a few miles. It's just like a very small footprint.
Right.
But this should take us pretty far up the coast on the Highway 1, maybe to southern Half Moon Bay, and then down to Año Nuevo.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be able to get much better reach into San Gregorio and La Honda and Loma Mar.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll cover the idea is the whole of the La Honda Pescadero Unified School District, which is huge. You know, it covers from the ocean to skyline, and, like quite a bit of land is covered by that. So we'll have a reach that includes all of that. And then just because of the funnel shape of it, the fan part of that funnel will be more on the west side. So we'll get more of Highway 1, which is really good because then you get all that traffic and we can help with traffic alerts.
Oh, yes.
And emergency response and stuff.
Yes. You know, there's a part of Highway 1 that I'm very concerned about. Just south of where Pescadero Creek comes into Highway 1, there's a section right there that to me looks like a sinkhole starting to happen.
Oh, yeah, they're working
and
on
Caltrans
that, or did.
Caltrans has just recently put some cement barriers along the edge and a Band-Aid of asphalt, but that Band-Aid is already cracking.
Oh, I know. Everybody's concerned about it. I hope that they find a permanent solution. It needs a new foundation in a sense. You know?
It needs some type of retaining wall on the ocean side to reinforce it.
Yeah. So they worked on it for quite a while. That's something I think we're all kind of concerned about. It was closed down for a while. It was one-way traffic.
Right.
So let's hope they fix that.
Or at least it holds until they can.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that happens too. And then Stage Road, it's collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to actually almost build a bridge up there to get traffic passed there. So yeah, we've got so many tentative situations with the roads because of all the water.
Right.
We got so much rain.
We needed it.
We do.
But
But we need it to be absorbed into the land.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately it was so much at once in places the land just collapsed.
Couldn't handle it.
Yeah. Yes. Right. Mm-hmm. So but hopefully now that more things are growing and things are stabilizing.
Yeah.
And I see improvements even in that. You know, what RCD has done as far as helping with the flooding, getting more sand and silt coming out at different places so that there's sort of a natural flooding, and that, you know, the dredge has really helped the marsh clean out.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's a lot of people working on this land.
Yeah.
And you know, I think that what you're doing, what you can teach us, how we can, you know, to the extent we can help you, how we can support that, I think that all goes in the direction of healing the land that a lot of people want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people
want to. We're all in the process of learning.
Yeah.
And it's really exciting.
And I think most people at this point, I mean, you don't have to be an environmentalist to want to heal the planet.
Right.
Right. You can
see. Our existence depends on it.
It does.
Yes.
You know, and so any way we can do that, I think people want to help. So you're in the right place at the right time.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Kata, it's been a pleasure as always. So is there anything you want to say about what your future plans are or anything like that?
Just we look forward to continued collaboration with the community at large, and we really appreciate their words of encouragement and support. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much.
Okay. This is Coastside Conversations. My guest has been Catalina Gomes, and she is the executive director of the Ramaytush Muchiate Indigenous Land Trust, and she can be contacted through muchiateilt.org. So MUCHIATEILT. So Muchiate Indigenous Land Trust.org. ILT is for Indigenous Land Trust. And then there's a contact on the website.
Yes.
And that's the central way that people can get in touch.
Yes.
Okay. So there's so many things to support, and I'm really happy that you are here. And let's do this again soon. Sooner.
Thank you, Catherine.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.